We enjoyed ourselves, and you have spoiled us rotten. And we're going to go home and expect this same treatment from our church, so thank you for that. I'm just kidding, but you've been so good to us, and we are so thankful for all of the kind words, for the friendship bread, the fudge, all of the great things that you've done for us, all of the meals, and you've just gone above and beyond, and we're so thankful. We truly enjoyed seeing you all again. It has been a few years since we've been here. I was able to come out in, I believe it was 2012, for the first youth rally for, it was Marvel, the Marvel Youth Rally, and then the following year for Wynn in 2013, and we just saw great things that the Lord did in those years. If you were here, you remember how the Lord just moved, and I've been excited to hear the past couple years how the Lord is continuing to grow the youth conference here. And we look forward to be back with you next June. I believe it's June 3rd. We'll be back again with you. And we've just enjoyed ourselves, enjoyed seeing many new faces, seeing some of the other faces as well. I was going to say the old faces, but the other faces as well. It's good to see you, and I appreciate your faithfulness. It's an encouragement to us to come back a couple years and see the same people faithful to God's house, a smile on your face. It's an encouragement to me and to my family to see that. So stay faithful, stick by the old stuff, and we're just excited to see what the Lord is doing here at this church. I believe the greatest days of this church are ahead. I believe the Lord is doing great things here now, and I just appreciate the kindness and love you've shown to us. Thank you so much, Pastor Rich, for your kindness to me. And Pastor Rich is just a role model in my life, a mentor to me. And I just learned so much from him and have really enjoyed these past few days. And it's such a privilege to be able to serve with Brother Donald. We've had some great years serving God together. I'd encourage you to get some friends that you can serve God together. We have some great memories. We've had some good times. But I can honestly say, and I'm sure he would echo, the greatest times we've shared are when we've served God together. The altar calls that lasted a lot longer than we planned, the tears, the salvations, the broken hearts and the lives that have been changed. We have so many great memories. I could spend the rest of the time tonight telling you some memories, some that we're proud of, some we might be embarrassed of, but we have just enjoyed serving God together. We feed off each other's energy, and I'm so excited to see how the Lord is using him here at this church, to see so many teens who he's touching, and all of you, how he and his wife have just been used greatly by God, and we truly are excited to see that, and to see what the Lord is doing here. We will be praying for you the rest of the conference, and excited to see how the Lord will continue to use the preacher for the rest of the time. Would you please turn to Genesis 22, and we'll get into God's Word tonight. The Bible says in Genesis 22, in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So we know that Abraham was told by God to do something that he was not expecting, but Abraham was obedient. Verse number 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done in our midst these past few days. God, we give you all the glory, all the praise. Father, I pray tonight that you open our hearts and our minds to your word, to what you have for us. Help me to get out of your way, Lord, and I pray that you will speak in a way that only you can. Lord, help us to be attentive tonight. Help us to listen to your still small voice. Lord, I pray as it burns within us that you will help us to respond to the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, if there's someone that's here that's not saved, I pray they will get that taken care of and leave here with full assurance of their salvation. And Father, if there's a child of God that's here tonight that needs to respond and needs to get right with you, I pray they will do that as well. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great story. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know this story that God told Abraham to do the unthinkable. I can look at this story from a new light, being a father. I've given my life, I've surrendered my life to God. There's pretty much anything I would do, but I'll just be completely honest, preacher. If God told me to do this, to take my child and bring him up to a place and sacrifice him, I would have a hard time with that. And Abraham was just obedient. We don't see him questioning God. We don't see him complaining. He just obeyed. And as he was ready to slay his son, to do the unthinkable, God stopped him. And I believe that God did this for a test. It says that at the beginning of the chapter, that God wanted to test Abraham. And what was this test? He already knew Abraham's faith. He had already seen Abraham's obedience. But I believe he wanted to quantify that obedience and see how far Abraham was willing to go. I believe tonight, if you're saved, I believe that you're here tonight and most of you have given your lives, you've surrendered your lives to God. But God has a question for you tonight. Not just are you surrendered, but how surrendered are you? To what length will you be willing to go for God? What is that place that you draw the line and say, I will go that far, Lord, but I won't go any farther. Lord, I've given this part of my life. I've given this part of my life. I'll do this. But God, I will not go over there. And let's just be honest. We have those areas. We have those excuses. I gave my testimony the other night, but I am living testimony of someone who's just constantly saying, God, I can't do that. And he pushes me towards it and I step out and he helps me. And he makes the difference. And I'm so out of my comfort zone tonight, I cannot tell you how out of my comfort zone I am. This is not natural for me. I would love to be sitting in the back in the sound room. But God helps us if we're willing to get out of our comfort zone and just surrender ourselves to him. I'm not comfortable singing specials or playing the piano, but God just gives us opportunities to serve him. And anytime God gives you an opportunity, go through that door and allow him to do something great. I love when people compliment me or something that has happened in our ministry, because it's easy for me to just deflect all that right up to God, because it's so simple that it was He that did that. God has been able to use my family in 8 years at our church. We have a few teens that have gone to Bible college and are now serving in ministries. This fall we have 8 teenagers that are in Bible college preparing to go to ministry. And we've been able to invest in teens and see people saved. But I can tell you tonight, it's not me, it's not my wife, it's not anything that we've done, it's God that did that. You can point someone to God and you can do your best to invest in them, but you know that have worked in ministry, it's God that does that. But he wants every Christian to be surrendered. And I believe he wants you to be completely surrendered. I'd like to preach to you tonight on one very simple word. And I'd like to illustrate that word to you tonight. I'd like to preach to you on the word all. The word all. I stole this from your house, Brother Donald. The word all. God wants all of you. He wants complete surrender. He wants everything. The word all is found in the Bible 4,663 times. That's a lot. All is used to refer to the whole quantity or extent of a particular group or thing. It means everything. It means every part. It means the whole amount, the entirety, the greatest possible amount of equality. Completely, fully, entirely, totally, wholly, absolutely, utterly, consisting entirely of. The whole of one's possessions, energy, or interest. There is nothing that is not included in the word all. And so my title tonight is very simple. Is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? We can sing the song. We can sing, is your all on the altar? We can sing, I surrender all. But let's be completely honest tonight, church. Most of us are singing, I surrender some. Amen. I surrender little. Or maybe you're a good Christian. I surrender most. But you're lying. That's not true. If you're singing a song, I surrender all, and there's areas in your life that you've not surrendered to God. God wants everything. There's no part of your life that God does not want. This concept is found all throughout Scripture. You know the verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of thy heart. No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Not in some of your ways, in most of your ways, or a few of your ways, in all thy ways. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to most that is written, to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, if you take the word all out of Scripture, it affects things. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Aren't you glad the word all is in there? Not most Scripture or some Scripture or certain passages. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How about Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. All things. All things. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not seek God's kingdom and God will answer some of your prayers. All these things will be added unto you. But see, God requires a lot of us. In Mark 12, we have the greatest commandment, to love Him with all the heart, all the understanding, all the soul, all the strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. All. God wants all of you. He does not want some. He doesn't want most. He wants all. Why should we give God all? Because He's above all. Ephesians 1:22, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over the church. Because He created all. Hebrews 3:4 says, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. We should give all to God because He died for all. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because He saved all of you. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Imagine how much the word all changes the meaning of the passage. It doesn't say God will cleanse some of your sin if you pray. It's all of your unrighteousness. It's everything. It's completely inclusive. There's nothing that's left out. But you see, God wants to be glorified in all things. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Church, God wants to be first place in everything. He doesn't want to take second place or third place or tenth place. He wants to be first in all. Preeminence. It's not prominence, it's preeminence. First place. First place in all things. As a Christian, I read that verse and I struggle with it because I can give God the prominence. I can put God before certain things, but to put Him before everything, it takes a lot. But God wants to be above all in your life. He's jealous. He won't be satisfied until He's first place. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. God wants to be glorified in everything, in all. But you see, this idea of complete surrender, it doesn't come naturally. It's not natural for us. We sing it and we can say it, but I think oftentimes we feel like we'll lose some of our freedoms or we're fearful of what might happen. But if you believe that God's way is the best way, you'll just surrender all to Him. To have an idea, to have the prayer that, God, I will give You my life and there is nothing that I won't do for You. You know, the Christian life, I've heard it said, is not a smorgasbord where you can pick and choose. I'll do this, I'll do this, I won't do this, I won't do that. No, we need to obey all of God's commandments, all of God's promises. It's either none or it's all. But as Christians, why is it, preacher, that we get so comfortable just doing part? Why is it so comfortable that we get so, or why is it so easy for us to get comfortable with partial surrender? Well, I've surrendered some areas of my life. God, if You want me to do this, I'll do that, but I won't do that. And why do we think that's okay? Jesus died for you and He paid the price for all of your sins. He loves you. He's going to send all of you to heaven someday. It's the least you can do to surrender your life to Him. Don't hold anything back. Don't set any limitations. God, it's all Yours. Everything. I know I'm not much, but my hopes, my desires, my dreams, my cares, my possessions, my families, everything I have is Yours and Yours only. Would to God a Christian would do that tonight, to come to this altar and give their entire life to God. God, I'm done holding back. God, I'm done giving part. I'll give You all. Just as Abraham, I'll do the unthinkable for You. What is the area of your life you need to give to God tonight? Is your all on the altar? A few areas in which we need to surrender. First, we need to surrender our strongholds. Surrender our strongholds to God. If you would please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Satan will do his best to get a stronghold in your life, to get an area that's fortified, that's separate than everything else that he can take. And you might have other areas, the rest of your life might be consecrated to God, but there's a stronghold. If you read through the Old Testament, the Bible says much about high places. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And what the children of Israel would do, they would sacrifice to God and they would give over the lower places to God, but they would keep certain altars still open and sacrifice to other gods. And this made God very angry. And there's a problem with having high places, these strongholds in our lives. The first problem is that they're private. 2 Kings 17:9 said the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. If there's a stronghold, a high place in your life, it's private. And it's the private places where Satan will tempt you, and the private places where many people fall and end up messing up and getting away from God. Think about David. He sinned in adultery, and it was in a private place. Think about Cain. He killed Abel in secret. Moses murdered when he thought nobody saw it. And I know that our temptations are often in the private places. Another problem with high places, not only are they private, but they prioritize something ahead of God. God says in Exodus 20, verse 3, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. God, there should be nothing in your life ahead of God. But if there's anything in front of Him, it is putting something else first instead of Him, and that's wrong. See, God wants to be worshipped in those high places. God wants to be worshipped in those private places. But oftentimes, we're spending that time sacrificing to another god in our lives. And sometimes it's not even a sin, it's just something else we put ahead of God. But they're private, they prioritize something ahead of God, and they promote self. God says we're supposed to die to self daily. Every day put myself behind. But if you have a stronghold in your life, it's something that your pride is built up and you're promoting yourself. You're doing what you want to do. And this is always what sin does. It promotes self. It's never, I want to sin so I can let this person enjoy the feeling. No, it's for me. I want this. And Satan tempts you personally. Satan tempted Eve. And Eve sinned and then Adam sinned as well. But Satan will tempt you and it's something that will promote yourself. And then sin, the stronghold, will prevent God from doing other things. I think about the story of Achan. When the Israelites had defeated Jericho and they moved on to Ai. Ai should have been an easy victory. But they lost. And people died that day. Because one man sinned. And sin in your life will prevent God from doing the things He wants to do. Will prevent you from moving forward in your Christian life. Will prevent you from seeing future blessings and future promises of God fulfilled because of a sin, because of these strongholds in your life. So would you surrender all of the strongholds in your life? Is there an area in your life that God is pointing out right now that you need to surrender to Him? An area, a secret sin, something nobody may know about, or maybe it's something many people know about. But an area in your life. Don't worry about the person next to you or behind you. How about you and me tonight? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Not my mother, not my brother. It's me. And is there an area in your life that God is pointing out a stronghold that He wants you to get victory? Would you be willing to place it on the altar tonight? Secondly, how about an area of service? You know, everybody serves something or somebody. You might say, well, I may not be serving God the way I should be, but you know, I'm not serving, you know, the devil. But you're serving something. Maybe it's your addiction to sports. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's some pleasure or your home or your occupation. But everybody is serving something. And there's a problem with that. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So either serve God completely or don't serve Him at all. But we need to just completely set our service to, I am serving God. And not just am I only serving God, but I'm serving God with my whole heart. You know, God doesn't need Christians that are half-heartedly serving Him. That are just kind of putting a partial effort. But the Bible said in Deuteronomy 10:12, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that everything we do needs to be to the glory of God. Everything. Everything. That means cleaning our rooms. That means the daily menial tasks that we might think God doesn't care about. Everything we do needs to be to God's glory. Your service tonight needs to be completely dedicated to God and with your whole heart. You're here tonight. Would you be willing to give all of your service to God? And then how about number three, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We need to be surrendered. We need to surrender some strongholds. We need to surrender our service, but we need to surrender to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please. We're in 1 Corinthians. Turn back a couple chapters to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read you a verse that many of you know. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 18, Ephesians 5:18. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I tried that last night. A lot of people said amen, and I don't think many people were there. People were still turning. So I'm doing my best to give you time, but we're going to keep moving tonight. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you constantly, but it's up to you how much of the Spirit you want to be filled with. And oftentimes we quench the Spirit simply by saying no. Let me illustrate this to you. As a college student, I came home and I had the desire to intern at my home church. And I told that desire to my dad and he said, "You need to call a preacher right away." And I said, "Okay, I will." And he said, "Do you understand why?" And I said, "Well, because it's good for me to learn from him. It'll be a good opportunity for me." He said, "No." He said, "Because God told you to." I said, "How'd you know that, Dad?" And he said, "Well, did you feel a desire to do so, that something was telling you to do that?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you think that was Satan? Do you think that was the devil telling you to intern at your church?" And it began a new way of thinking for me that I realized, no, that was actually the Holy Spirit. How about this? This morning, did you have a desire, the first thing you woke up, to read your Bible? I know I did. A thought was put in my heart, I need to read my Bible. Before I need to make my coffee, which that's very high on the priority list, before I need to get ready and brush my teeth, I need to read my Bible. And that desire was not Satan. Amen? That's not our flesh. That's not the devil. That's the Holy Spirit. And getting to a place when you can start recognizing, the Holy Spirit wants me to read my Bible. The Holy Spirit wants me to witness to my coworker. Do you think Satan's telling you to witness to unsaved people? Absolutely not. But it's understanding that still, small voice and becoming surrendered to it. And not quenching it, not putting it out. But as soon as the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, be obedient. Whatever it is, even if you think it's something that will put you out of your comfort zone, or if you're nervous or you're uncomfortable, just be willing to say yes to God. Whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit might put on your mind to be a blessing or an encouragement to somebody. Or to pray for somebody or help somebody, whatever it might be. But let's be filled with the Holy Spirit, completely surrender to the Spirit. Whatever He wants us to do it. Would you please turn back to Romans chapter 12? A couple books over to Romans chapter 12. I think it's important that we all turn there and that we read this. I can just quote the verses, but I want you to see it for yourself. Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. God wants all of the strongholds. God wants all of our service. He wants us to be filled with all of the Spirit. God wants all of yourself. I beseech you therefore, verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I heard it said once that God is not looking for what you give Him, but He's looking for what you keep. He's looking to see what you're holding back. Because God wants your desires. He wants your dreams. He wants your goals. He wants your time. He wants your talents. He wants your treasures. He doesn't just want those things, but He wants you. He wants all of you. Put yourself on the altar. We can sing that song, "I Surrender All." But do we mean it? God, I'm just giving You myself. I know it's not much. I know I'm nothing. But God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord, I know that I'm nobody. But God, You can take my life and You can do great things with it. And it will be all You. A.W. Tozer said, "The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. C.S. Lewis said the proper good of a creature is to surrender itself to its creator, to enact intellectually, volitionally, and emotionally that relationship which is given in the mere fact of its being a creature. When it does so, it is good and happy. Jim Elliot said, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life that I may burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. And D.L. Moody said, no one can sum up all God is able to accomplish through one solitary life, wholly yielded, adjusted, obedient to Him. When God called out to Abraham, back in Genesis 22, Abraham just answered simply, here am I. God's calling you tonight. Would we just respond with that simple answer? God, here am I. I know I might not be anything, but I give you my life. 1 Corinthians 1:26 is just for you see, for your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God isn't looking for the greatest, the most qualified. He's just looking for those that are willing. He's just looking for those that are empty of themselves so that He can use them. To surrender means to agree, to stop fighting, hiding, or resisting, because you know that you will not win or succeed. Another definition is to give the control or use of to someone else. To allow something to influence or control you. Or to yield to the power, control, or possession of another. Or to give up or completely agree to forego, especially in favor of another. It's to give up. Friend, it's a simple message tonight. I surrender all. Is your all on the altar? Is there a stronghold in your life that you need to give over to God? Is your service completely devoted to God? Are you completely given to Him? Is He the number one person that you serve in your life? Or maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was yourself. Or maybe the Holy Spirit. But if there's an area in your life you need to surrender, I encourage you tonight to take time and get right with God. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a simple message tonight. Is your all on the altar? Or could you say that there's something that I've been holding back? I've been saved long enough that I've seen in my life the danger of holding back from God. I've seen the heartache.